Mark 4, verse 35, and I'm going to read down through verse 41, the end of the chapter. Very familiar story, and I'm going to try to share with you a few truths out of here that God has shared with me, and then we'll go home. I know you got kids got to get into bed tonight for school. Verse 35, the Bible says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm," not just a storm, but a great storm of wind. "And the waves beat upon," or beat into, "the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Has anybody else ever felt that way? "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Watch this." This is amazing. "How is it that you have no faith?" He didn't say little faith. He said, "You have none." I feel like that sometimes, that I have no faith. Sometimes you'd think the older you are as a Christian and the more you grow, the more faith you would have. And if there's anybody that ought to have faith, it'd be the disciples. I mean, they've already seen stuff happen, and yet they had no faith. I would be in good company with them at times. "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I'm not going to preach on this, but I'll answer their question. I'll tell you who he is. He's the master of the sea. That's who he is. Verse 37 tonight, I want to read this verse again, share with you my thought, and we'll take off from there. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship," watch this, "so that it was now full." I want to preach a message on those last six words I read there. "So that it was now full." And I want to preach a message on this thought tonight. When you can't take it no more, you can be seated. I think we've all been there. Some of us tend to live there. It seems like, Brother Ken, continually the waves of life are beating our vessel. It seems as though it's one thing right after another, and if it ain't one wave, it's another, and you wonder, is it ever going to stop? Life is a journey, and it's not that you're doing anything wrong that causes these things to happen. They just seem to happen. You can be in the perfect will of God just like these disciples were. Going where He would have them to go. And yet, it seemed as though the storm they was encountering was about to take them under. I'm looking at families here tonight, much like families I pastor, and I see family after family, problem after problem. And I see a lot of families, and it looks as if they can't take no more. And I wonder just how much can some people take? I'm reminded where the psalmist said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Amen right there. There's a one man in my church family, he's a preacher. Brother Ken has met him. He met his wife before she passed away suddenly at 40 years old. He's got four girls. One of them is married. The next to the youngest girl has sugar diabetes and has to wear an insulin pump. And his wife passed away suddenly. I was there with him at the hospital the night that she died. And I watched him as he wept, and his kids was not there. And I sat out there in the waiting room as he was back there weeping over the corpse of his wife. And as his kids was on their way en route, they had no idea that Mama had suddenly passed away. Had she been sick? Yes. They had had issues, but they wasn't expecting her to die at any moment. And I watched those three little girls come walking into the emergency room and was heading back to the back room. And I stood there with the girls and I said, "Y'all sit here just a minute." I went back there in the back and I grabbed a hold of their daddy. I said, "Three of you little girls are here and the other one's en route from Jacksonville, North Carolina." He wept and cried and he walked out to the door and he said, "Brother, I can't go to them." I said, "Stay right here. I'll get you youngins." I went out there to the front and I grabbed those kids. I said, "Come on." Their eyes was as big as half dollars, Brother Ken. And they began to walk through there. "What's wrong with Mama?" I walked out so that Daddy could have time with his three little girls. I'm talking youngins that high. And as the doors closed behind me, I began to hear them little girls scream. You could hear their echo all the way across the hospital. Their mama was laying there in a dead corpse. Yes, her soul was in the spirit, in heaven with God. She was in the presence of the Lord. But down here on this earth, life has a way of sending waves. And they beat up against your vessel. And you don't know when it's going to come. And it scares you half to death. But one good thing there is to know is that on board that vessel, just like on board my vessel, you ain't in it by yourself. The King of Kings and the Master of the Sea is aboard your vessel. That's something to be thankful for. You'll see in verse 40 how fear filled them, faith fled them, and their focus fooled them. Let me share with you three things. You say, "Preacher, what are we to do when we can't take it no more?" Some of you might be there tonight. You might be experiencing it tonight. Maybe you can't take it no more in your marriage. Maybe you're tired of that old bozo you're married to. He just don't look like Fabio no more. Maybe you just can't stand to look at your wife anymore. Maybe she's had three or four of your offspring or five. And now you look at her and you think, "Oh Lord, did I really marry her? You don't have as much hair. Things don't fit just right. We don't look the same." Maybe you're about, you can't take no more of your marriage. Maybe there's a relationship you've got with a friend and you said, "I just can't take no more with my friend." Maybe you're in the ministry. Maybe you're serving God in some capacity in the church and you're saying, "I just can't take it no more. What am I to do, preacher? I'm fed up. I've got my life so full of mess. I can't get it out quicker than it's coming in. It's coming over the tops and the sides. It's beating in. It's coming in everywhere. I can't get it out quick enough. What am I to do?" We look a lot of times at people's lives. And Brother Ken, we try to learn by their example and we try to follow what they did. I want to look at it from the back side. There's a back door to this story that God showed me. I don't want us to look at what they did do. I want us to look tonight at what they didn't do. Because a lot of times, it's how people don't react that you can learn just as much or more as by how they do react. It's not always what people do you need to look at. You need to look at what they ain't a-doing. Yeah, oh yeah. And there's three things I want to mention here. And the first one is found in verse number 38. The first thing they didn't do when it couldn't take it no more is they didn't abandon the ship. Look at verse number 38. The Bible says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?'" Let me tell you what they didn't do. Thank God they stayed in the ship. Let me go ahead and get it out where we can all understand it. That ship is a picture of Zion. That ship is a picture of the church. That ship is a picture of the house of God and the people of God. We're in a journey. We're not staying where we are. We're going across to the other side. The waves are going to come up high, and there's going to come times you can't take it no more. But the last thing you need to do is abandon the ship. Just stay on board. Stay in the ship. Hang in here. Don't jump. Don't do it. Hang in the ship. You'll be glad you did. Amen. Let me give you two or three reasons why they stayed in the ship. The first reason why they stayed in the ship is because of the ship's history. Nowhere does it say that was that ship's maiden voyage. It doesn't say that that ship had ever sunk. Matter of fact, I don't ever read in the Bible where any of God's people was in a boat and the boat went down. You'll read where the boat made it. People felt like jumping overboard, but the ship is going to make it to the other side, friend. Hey, friend, let me tell you why you ought to stay in the ship is because of the ship's history. We're all on board the old ship of Zion. She's been tossed to and fro. Some of you've been rocked side to side. You've tottered from one end to the other, and there's been times you've wanted to bail out. But honey, this ship ain't never went down. She ain't a going down. The ships are going to the other side, and the ship's going to sail on, friend. Number two, I'll tell you another reason why they didn't abandon the ship. It's not only because of the ship's history, but it was because of the sailors' help. Oh yeah. You see, the help that they was going to get during this storm was inside the ship. Now, if they would have jumped overboard. Now, here you go. Let's just say, how many of y'all watch Deadliest Catch? Y'all seen that? Those guys are tough. Matter of fact, they're nuts. They're nuts. 40-foot waves, 80-mile-an-hour winds, and them out there trying to catch a crab. Ain't that something? That things are going up and down, and it goes, and that thing, and they all stay on board. I mean, it's amazing. Them people's crazy. Now imagine this: if you was on Deadliest Catch and the storm got so bad, you said, "Well, I'm just gonna jump out of this ship. I can't take it no more. I'm just gonna jump overboard." You reckon any of them boys that said, "Yeah, boys, it's so bad, let's just jump off this thing"? No. They said, "This ship is our only hope. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. We're floating in the middle of the sea. And for you to abandon the ship would be about as crazy as you on a ship out in the barren sea in the middle of the storm. And you said, 'I just can't take it no more.'" Kafunka. What you gonna do now? Doggy paddle? There ain't nobody out there in the ocean gonna be able to help you. You better stay in the ship. This is where the sailors are. By the way, it's worse outside the ship than it is inside the ship. Somebody says, "Well, it's bad in the church. It's just so bad." Well, try being out of it. Hey, it'd be a whole lot worse if you wasn't in this thing. And some of y'all say, "Well, I'm through with church. I'm a getting out of here and I ain't never coming back." You a nut. You about as crazy as somebody that jump off a boat in the middle of a storm. Hold on. Let me help y'all just a minute. It's Wednesday night and I'm feeling like preaching, Brother Ken. Listen, let me help you right here. A lot of times people are saying this: "I wonder how come we ain't having nobody saved in our church." Y'all ever go through spells like that? Huh? I do. I wonder why ain't anybody got saved in a while. Let me tell you what I have to spend most of my time as a pastor doing anymore, Brother Ken. It's because people get crazy when things start coming into their life. I have to spend more time throwing life jackets to nuts that's bailed out of the ship trying to get them back in. And let me tell you one of the worst things people will do. They'll get the idea, well, I'm bailing out. I can't take no more. I'm gone. And then they'll get mad because nobody throws them a life jacket. You ought not have bailed out. And you want me to tell you why some people ain't throwed you a life jacket yet? It's because they're doing everything they can to stay on board their sail. That boat's a rocking and throwing them from side to side. They ain't got time to throw you a life jacket because they just trying to hang on and stay in this thing their sail. Nobody comes see me. Well, under God, nobody wants to go where you are. You out yonder in the wild. Watch this. You want me to tell you how you know you're about to make a crazy and foolish decision and go overboard? Watch. When you're more out of the ship than you are in it. When you're more out than you are in, a wave's going to catch you before long and it's going to drag you overboard. There's a lot of people that's more out of church and more out of the ship than they are in the ship. Best thing you can do is go on and get in it, get hunkered down real good. I promise you the winds are going to blow and the waves are coming. You better find you a good friend to lock arms with and say, by the grace of God, we're going to stay in this thing. I need you to help me. And the closer you are to somebody, you've got something to hold on to. That's what Liberty Baptist Church, you need to hold on to somebody and say, help me stay in this thing because I can't take much more. They didn't abandon the ship because of the ship's history, because of the sailors' help. Let me tell you a third reason why they didn't abandon the ship. This is deep. Y'all ready for this? It's really, really deep. Y'all know coming from a redneck country boy, it's bound to be foolish, but it is deep for me. The Savior's here. Who was on board the ship? Who was on board? Jesus was on board. Why in the world would you want to abandon ship when this is the Lord's house? This is where you meet with Him. Why do you want to bail out now? Watch this though. Let me help you something right here. I'm getting ready to help you with a little something. Watch. The Lord was on board their vessel, but He wasn't in the proper place. Where did it say He was? In the hinder part. Huh? Why did they? Are you here? Are you with me now? He can be in your life and still not be in the right place. They'd have had a whole lot more faith to make it through the storm if Jesus would have been in the right place in their life. He was in the hinder part instead of the front part of the ship. And there's a lot of people in here. Ask yourself a question tonight. If there comes a time in your life when the waves are beating you and you can't take it no more right now, where's Jesus at in your life? Where's He at? Is He in the hinder part? Or is He up front? Don't abandon the ship. Hang in here. It's a whole lot worse on the outside of the boat than it is on the inside. Even though it can get pretty bad inside. Watch this. Number two is found in verse 38 too. The first thing they didn't do, they didn't abandon the ship. But number two, they didn't avoid the Savior. Look at verse 38. And He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Now, I'm reminded of myself in here, Brother Dunson, when I look at that story. They didn't watch. And here's how, if you'll be honest, some of you might not be this way. I'm working on my prayer life and staying in contact with the Lord all the time. But a lot of times I don't go to Him until I can't take it no more. They never did go get Him until, first of all, they was a sinking, friend. They was a going down, friend, and that's when they finally went and talked to the Lord about it. Why do we wait till the last minute to go and get Him? Could it be because we use Him as a spare tire so many times in our life? It could have been, watch this, it could have been that they were so busy doing it themselves. They was trying to man the sails. They were saying, hey boys, we taking on water. Let's get it out. Let's get it out. But watch this. One little bitty prayer solved their problem that quick in spite of all of their effort trying to get the water out. Watch. It don't matter how much effort you put into your life trying to keep stuff out. If you just talk to God, you wouldn't be as exhausted as you are sometimes. He can clean it up a whole lot quicker than you can get it out. They didn't go to Him until they were sinking and stressed. Watch this. Why is it that they waited so long to go to Him? I wrote down two or three things right here. Watch this. Maybe it was because they were sleeping. I mean, it was in the middle of the night. Jesus was asleep. Most people go to bed at night. Some of us take Ambien. Some of us take Lunesta. Some of us, you know, I've done come to conclusion. Before I got saved, I'd done my share of drugs. I did. Not proud of that. Got saved. Still drew drugs. Just get a prescription for them. Some of that stuff, you can sleep pretty good, can't you? Some of it you can't. But anyway, maybe they was all asleep and on there it was time to rest a little bit. Maybe it was because they were serving. They was busy serving one another, trying to keep the whole ship afloat. And sometimes you can be serving, trying to help keep the ship aboard, and the whole time you need to be talking to God. Don't minimize your relationship with God because you're serving so faithfully. Just because you're faithful in your service, don't minimize your prayer life. That's important. Watch. Maybe it was because they was snooping. Hold on now. Hold on. Did y'all read in that verse, I think, about verse 37? It says they was also out there other little ships. Why did our King James Bible, Brother Ken, put that word, little ship? It don't say that they was in a big ship, but it says the other ships out there, they's just little ships. Maybe they was too busy in the middle of the storm looking at all the other ships, seeing how they're faring, and didn't realize till they couldn't take no more and their life was about to go under and they couldn't pay attention to theirself for looking at all the other little ships. Because a lot of times I done found out we love looking at other people go through it. Oh yeah, maybe they didn't talk to the Lord because they was busy peeking. Say, hey y'all, look at that boat over yonder. That boat ain't gonna make it. There's no way that boat's gonna make it. Kind of like we do in church. Ain't no way that person's gonna make it. They gonna go under. I don't give them much longer. They gonna be completely out of this thing. They going down, friend. They going down. They ain't as big as our boat anyhow. Our boat's bigger because they called them little ships. We have a tendency to think the big ships don't ever go down, friend, but the big ships sink just like the little ships do, and we'd be better off to stop snooping at everybody else's life and looking at what they're going through and start paying attention to our own vessel. I got a family in my church. That's going through. I mean, Lord help. I can't tell preacher nothing he ain't experienced, but anyway, it's bad. 5 years ago, he messed up, and it was bad. I sat down over there at 11 o'clock one night with them in their living room. They called me over there, and his wife had called him. He had messed up. That seems like everywhere now. People just ain't happy with no way. Don't be running around. Shame on you if you got your eyes on another man or another woman. Anyway, come to find out he had had a kid 2 years old and his wife didn't even know about it. Oh yeah, I was right in the middle of the living room when all this happened. 11:30 at night. And y'all think we preachers don't do nothing but show up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Then when she gets done, or he gets done, spilling the beans, and he got it all out, she says, well, I got some news to tell you now. And I'm like, oh, dear God. I don't know if I can take no more of this or not. And she says, I'm pregnant. Keep in mind, they've got 5 kids. I mean, you don't run around, period. But if you got 5 youngins, enough's enough. Hello! Alimony, child support. You need to be buying roses and flowers for your wife anyhow, but if you got 5 kids, you better make sure she knows you love her. One trip to a courtroom and you're done. Five years ago that happened. A month ago, same guy, same family. I get a call one morning. Preacher so-and-so's in jail. Any of y'all ever go to jail around here? Sounds like I do a lot of my visitation at jail anymore. It's always something. Christians never cease to amaze me. I'm trying to talk to you about when you can't take it no more, all right? What happened? Well, he caught his wife at another man's house. 2 o'clock in the morning. Found out she now had been having an affair for 2 years. Yeah, wow, people's crazy. He goes over there in the middle of the night with a 12-gauge shotgun. Kicks in the front door. Click, click, goes back out of the bedroom. He don't shoot neither one of them, but he shoots the house all up. Then he comes outside, shoots her car all up that he's paying for. Gets in his truck, goes down the road, 30 minutes later comes back to the house, grabs her, throws her in the vehicle, and takes her home. There's a whole lot more stuff that I could tell you and it would make your hair stand straight up. Matter of fact, my brother back over here would probably grow a little bit of hair. Well, there's several of you brothers in here that might would grow a little bit of hair. Joe Deese might even grow a little bit of hair. I said all that to say this. When all this last episode went down, I mean, this wasn't just something word of mouth. Facebook has a way of sharing everything. This was on the news. Pictures, names, events, places. Everybody in my church already knowed about it. Facebook, social media, it was everywhere. My phone was ringing off the hook. Preacher, did you hear about so-and-so? No, I ain't heard a thing. How can you help not to hear everything that's going on? And I prayed about it. I said, God, now how am I going to do this? How am I going to handle this? This was on a Tuesday. I'm going into church on Wednesday night. I wasn't going to preach. I do not deal with things that way. When there's an issue open publicly, I'm not preaching with a 2,000-pound gorilla in the congregation. I'm not going to do it. And your preacher ain't either. I said, I got to handle this, but I got to handle it in the right way. God gave me a message on Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, if you see a brethren overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And here's the word, the phrase, considering thyself. And I preached Wednesday night on this thought, what if it was you? And I ripped tied from one end to the other and said, bless the name of the Lord. It could be anybody in here. Quit looking at their vessel. They're going through a hard time. They can't take no more right now. And what if it was you? What if it was you? What if it was you? And you know what it done? It calmed everything down. I ain't heard no more about it. Watch this. I'm done. Here's my last point. Y'all going home, you can tuck your little youngins in the bed and get ready to go to school, Ma. When you can't take it no more, they didn't abandon the ship. They didn't avoid the Savior. But here, watch. When they couldn't take it no more, they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know what that tells me? That tells me they didn't acknowledge the start. The start. Yeah. They thought they was going down. They said, we can't take it no more. We ain't going to make it. Look at verse 35. Here's the start. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. They'd forgot that he had already told them, it don't matter what you go through in this life. You started out with him, you're going to make it to the other side. There's going to come times when you can't take it no more. But don't forget the beginning of this thing. We're going to another place, friend. We're going to make it across this thing. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all right now, you said, I don't know how much more I can take of this. I'm losing my job. They've cut my pay. I mean, I look at our government. I don't know how much more I can take. I mean, my goodness, makes me want to vomit, turn the news on, get mad and upset. And you just look, how much more can we? I can't take it no more. Just keep your eyes on where we're heading. You're going to take on a little water. Just don't be looking at all the other little ships. Make sure you stay in tune with Him and talk to Him. And you won't have to work near as hard trying to get the water out. Watch this and I'm done. What good would it have been if they could have got all the junk out of their vessel, they still didn't solve the problem. The problem was the waves and the wind. The problem was the storm. They could have got all the water out of their boat, but the problem wasn't solved. You might be able to clean your life up and get it out and you're exhausted by the time you do, but you still ain't fixed the problem. Only the Lord can fix the problem. You might be able to do a little something about it to where you can sail on a little further, but guess what? It's just a matter of time and it's going to be all right back in there again. It's all coming right back in there again. Unless you maintain your relationship and communication with Him. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight, and I know this is Wednesday. We're all on board a vessel. You are a vessel. Each and every one of us are a vessel, and we're on board the old ship of Zion. Let me ask you this right now. Here's the most important question that'll go along with tonight's service and message. The fact that they was able to make it through that storm is because even though all the chaos was going on, they still knew where the Lord was in their life. Preacher, if they hadn't have known where Jesus was, they'd been helpless. Now, here's what you need to ask yourself. Where is Jesus at in your life? Where is Jesus at in your vessel? Is He in the hinder part of the vessel? Do you know where He's at in your life? That might make the difference as to whether you sink right where you are or you carry on. Preacher, you come.